Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, coming to you with a recap from the Pelicans' loss. They lost 107-102 last night against the Denver Nuggets, a game in which Anthony Davis had an absolutely monster performance. I'm going to touch on that for you guys. We'll probably have a bit of a quicker podcast today. Just recap the game, the good, the bad, who played well, who didn't, who's worth keeping an eye on for the Pelicans going forward, what lineups kind of struggled. I got one in particular I think you guys know probably already. What I think it is. We'll dive into the stats on that one. Talk more about Anthony Davis's monster game. Historic night. It's a shame they had to waste it. What I think of Buddy Hield. New signing Solomon Hill, the big free agent. We'll talk about all that. I'm also going to give you guys some fun stats that mean absolutely nothing right now because of the small sample size of just one game. But hey, it's nice to see the Pelicans high up in the rankings on certain things because they're certainly not going to stay that way for very long. So let's just jump right into it. Anthony Davis, I mean, what is there to say? You know, his stat line was he was 17 of 34 from the line for 50 points. He was 16 of 17 at the free throw line. He grabbed 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, and 4 blocks. It's an absolutely monster game. Those steals in particular are a bit surprising because a lot of those came in the backcourt. Late in the fourth quarter with the game really close, he grabbed a steal out of the front court, ran down and scored himself, basically causing a transition play and getting that, you know, on his own. It was just an absolutely tremendous performance. You know, you always hear about the coveted 5x5 stat line. Well, Anthony Davis was coming close to putting that up, but, you know, just with 50 points and 16 rebounds, and for a center or a power forward, whatever you want to call him, to grab 7 steals is absolutely incredible. Basically, no one's done this before. He joins rarefied air. I think it was only 4 people who have ever put up 50 points in the opening night game. Davis is now among them. So it goes to show you, you know, this is exactly what we wanted to see from him. We've talked about his attitude going into the year. He seemed ready to take over, you know, kind of punish people for forgetting about him. Looking back at that GM survey right now, it seems kind of foolish that a year being removed from having 86% say they would start a franchise with him, that he was left off of the top 3 in the most recent GM survey. I mean, come on. You can clearly see how good this guy is. He was doing everything, flying around, hustling. He seemed to pull up a little lame on a layup in the end of the fourth quarter towards maybe the mid to end. I forget exactly the play. And he stayed out there kind of showing he's not soft. He's willing to play through injuries. It's probably a hamstring. No official word yet from the Pelicans, but I wouldn't say it's anything to worry about at all. But I mean, just an absolutely tremendous historic performance. There's nothing, you know, more you can say. He really put himself right back into the MVP discussion. And I know it's one game, but don't think we're not going to see more performances like this as the season goes on. Pelicans fans, make sure you're getting to the Smoothie Center to see this guy. There were MVP chants for him at one point, and just my goodness, when we started realizing the numbers he was putting up, you know, it was absolutely tremendous. Part of the reason he's putting up those numbers is there wasn't a whole lot of other great offensive performances from Pelicans players overall. It was really Davis just taking all of the shots. And frankly, there's nothing wrong with that. It shows he can lead this team. He needs some help from other people. We'll touch on who those people are in just a moment. But it goes to show how great he is, but he cannot do it by himself. He can lead by example. He can be the driving force, you know, the locomotive you hitch the rest of the wagons here too, but he can't only do it by himself, and he's going to need to get some help from his teammates, and Dunny didn't fully get that. But though it wasn't a win, and the Pelicans wasted this Davis performance, again, this historic 50-point game with 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, 4 blocks. Man, what a game. It's okay. It's one game. It doesn't make or break the season. And this is something to kind of have the Pelicans hang their hat on, be excited about, build off of this. If they can get some better play, and overall, a lot of their shooting issues tonight were just, sometimes it's a make-or-miss league, and the Pelicans were missing tonight. If they can get some better shooting nights around Anthony Davis, this team should be just fine if he keeps up with performances like this. I could talk about Anthony Davis all night, but that's not what I want to do. I know you guys watched the performance. You've seen the highlights. You know what went on there. I want to talk about some other guys here on the team, guys who played well, who didn't play too well, who maybe were a mixed bag. Before I dive into some fun stats, we need to talk about Lance Stephenson. Lance Stephenson earned himself some crunch time minutes tonight, and that is definitely not something I would have said at the start of the year, nor would I ever have thought it would have happened. He was out there hustling. He was getting in the face of Danilo Gallinari, who he was trying to guard. He was a very strong player, not an easy assignment to draw. Stephenson was right there doing what he could. He gave up a three early on. I think he kind of just forgot he was guarding a guy who could shoot from range there. Made sure on the next possession he was all over him, almost forced a turnover there. He was fired up. And, you know, he should have gotten those crunch time minutes over a guy like Buddy Hield and some of the other players on this team. I don't trust him for more than the 25 minutes he played tonight. You don't want him getting 30, 35 minutes. I think I'd actually rather have him at, you know, 20 minutes. He still did some Lance Stephenson type things, which is what we're all kind of worried is going to happen. But he definitely established himself in the rotation tonight. Some of the Lance Stephenson things he did was, I think he subbed himself out. In the fourth quarter, he picked up a foul, seemed frustrated, kind of looked at the bench, waved his arm, and they subbed him out. And it seems like he just wanted to get out of there because I think maybe he thought he was going to yell or pick up a tech or something. It was kind of strange. He was waving his arms wildly while the primary ball handler. At one point, he did some little ISO ball stuff, but you're going to have to live with that. That's part of having him on the roster. But overall, this guy just became crunch time Lance Stephenson for the Pelicans, and if he can keep up the way he played tonight, you're going to love the 20 minutes they're going to get out of him. More than that, though, he could still become a liability. He does seem to have lapses on defense, but, you know, for the Flyer, the Pelicans took on him over Alonzo G, who does have, you know, skills that fit this team quite well. I think Lance has found his role here. I think the Pelicans have an idea of what they want to use him, and I think it's going to work going forward. So Solomon Hill, if you look at his box score tonight, it's going to be ugly. You're not going to like what you saw. You know, he finished with 2 points. He was 0 for 4 from deep. That doesn't tell you the whole thing. He actually had one of the better defensive ratings on the team at 91.3. For comparison, Denver had an offensive rating of 95.9. So he was significantly better, you know, 4 points per 100 possessions better when the Pelicans were on the floor with him than they were without him on the court. That goes to show his contributions. They're not going to show up in the stat line every night, but he does need more than 2 points, especially to justify his, you know, somewhere between 48 to 52 million price tag, depending on where you're getting the numbers from. The 0 for 4 from 3 isn't an actual big concern to me just yet. NBA doesn't have the tracking data up, but those 4 shots he took were open, if I recall correctly. I don't mind that. If open shots, don't fall one night, they're probably going to fall the next or the night after. You know, when you're taking open looks, those have a higher percentage of being made, and he definitely took his open looks tonight. If he makes 2 of those 3s, all of a sudden you're looking at an 8-point game out of him with potentially a little bit more, and you're going to start feeling much more comfortable about his stat line. You're not expecting him to average over 10 points per game, but if he can get, you know, around 8 to 9 a game, I think you'll really be happy with his offensive contributions, because he really is helping on the defensive side of the ball. And I mentioned the 3-point numbers, and I said the NBA tracking data to see how many were open, how many weren't, how many were contested, how many were closely contested. I think it goes, you know, wide open, open, contested, semi-contested. I forget exactly what it was now, but there's a ranking system of them here. You know, the Pelicans were 3 of 19 tonight for 15.8%. It's pretty bad. Let's not lie. But they're not always going to shoot 15.8% from deep as the season goes on. That's an actual unsustainable number. They'll get closer to their averages in the mid-30s. You know, if they shot 35% from there tonight, they win this game. If they shoot 20% from there tonight, they probably win. 3 of 19 is not going to be the norm. That's not going to be the norm from any NBA team at all. So like I said, the tracking data isn't available. I'll see it this weekend. We're going to talk about it on Monday. But I bet most of those threes were wide open. It shows you that the passing's working, that the ball movement is creating these open looks on the perimeter. You hadn't seen something like that from the Pelicans last season or the season before. It was nice to see it tonight. There is definitely some good to take away, you know, from this 5-point loss. And since we're talking about three-point shooting, we've got to mention Buddy Hield, the Pelicans rookie, the sixth overall pick in the draft. This is what Buddy Hield is known for. Did not have a good night in his first regular season game. He had 4 total points, 0 for 3 from deep. This should make you want to temper back your expectations. This is not going to be the second leading scorer on the Pelicans. It's not going to be Buddy Hield. He's not going to have nights like this every night, but he's going to struggle to find his shot, to just being used to playing an NBA pace. The fact that he's been on a whirlwind tour going to China, you know, playing, doing all the media obligations, this is not the same as it is in being a college, and it takes some time getting used to. If he doesn't have fresh legs just because he's tired from practicing or because he's doing photo shoots, things like that the Pelicans want him to do, yeah, it's going to affect his play on the court a little bit. Maybe his sleeping patterns off. Things like that are going to affect a shooter. So once he gets into a routine, I expect it to get better. You know, he's going to struggle to start the year. Around midseason, he's really going to pick it up, and you're going to start to see the potential and talent that he has. And then I would assume you'll see a little bit of a dip in his numbers towards the end of the year as he just gets tired from playing 82 games. That is a significant difference from college athletes, and making that leap in 1 year is really difficult. Temper your expectations back in the beginning. We'll have fun nights where he's out there shooting well. You can see he's just happy to be out on the court. He seems like a really great guy. It's going to be fun having him on the team throughout the year. Temper back your expectations. Don't place too much of a burden on him just yet. He'll find his shot. He will be fine. It's just going to be around the middle of the season. You know I'm going to talk about the small lineup. I've been talking about it for the past 2 weeks, about Anthony Davis playing center along with Terrence Jones being the likely other guy in the front court with him, and how I was worried about this. Well, you know, first off, this isn't a good matchup for that lineup. Denver's really good on the inside with Nurkic and Jokic. Those are two strong centers. Very good rebounders. You still have Kenneth Faried, who's an amazing rebounder, coming off the bench with his energy. So this was a tough matchup for this small lineup in the first place. But Davis and Jones were on the court for 12 minutes tonight. If you're familiar with the stat net rating, basically you take the offensive rating of them and subtract it from the defensive rating. You obviously want that to be positive, meaning you're outscoring your opponents per 100 possessions to adjust it for pace. And we'll touch on pace in a moment, but it was high tonight. So in the 12 minutes tonight with Jones and Davis on the court, they posted a negative 20.3 net rating. They only grabbed 72.7% of defensive rebounds. There were times when Terrence Jones clearly was outmuscled by the bigger centers for Denver. It's going to be a problem against certain teams like this all year. I think that small lineup will be effective against, say, more perimeter-oriented teams at times, but they're still going to have problems with even just one center trying to grab those boards. Terrence Jones was overmatched. The defensive rebounding numbers don't look good there for the Pelicans. You know, that's something that's going to be a problem. You know, like I said the other day on Wednesday, you got to wonder if Davis's skill set is just so weird. It's tough to build around. It's a problem. You need another dominant big with him. I don't know if I'm fully on board with him playing center. Like I said, it'll work at times, but tonight showed you it can get burned pretty hard, and a minus 20.3 net rating is really bad. We'll see how it's going to go against the Warriors and Spurs. This is something I'm going to be tracking all year long, so we'll be able to see the numbers. We'll see if they change, but against the Warriors and Spurs, especially against the Spurs, that's not going to change at all. They are a strong rebounding team. Against the Warriors, they might have a chance, but I think the Warriors are going to really bounce back. They had a poor rebounding night against the Spurs. It could just be that the Spurs are really good. The Warriors aren't that bad at rebounding. I think we're going to kind of see it. You know, that'll be a truer test of this small lineup for the Pelicans Friday in the Smoothie King Center. Some other numbers and things to talk about. The Pelicans finished with 16 steals tonight. Again, 7 from Anthony Davis. Denver had 25 turnovers total, and the Pelicans only managed to get 26 points off that. That's a bit disappointing. You'd like to see that higher. But frankly, even forcing those turnovers is a great thing. That's 26 possessions for Denver ended. Just right there. 16 steals, grabbing it. That's where it leads to transition defense, when you get that ball, run down the court, and score easily because you're on a fast break. It was good for the Pelicans just getting those steals. Tim Frazier looked good doing that. Lance Stephenson even had some. And then Anthony Davis getting in there and doing all that. It was absolutely wonderful to see. Another area the Pelicans did really well was points in the paint. especially considering how strong inside Denver is. The Pelicans put up 50 against Nurkic and Jokic. That's they're not amazing defensively. They're better offensive players, but they're still two guys that are very good on the defensive side of the ball as well. It was nice to see 50 points in the paint. Remember earlier in this offseason, I said I worry who's going to get to the line all the time, who's going to score in the paint reliably other than Anthony Davis. Well, the Pelicans managed to get him some help down low tonight. Remember, like I said, only 17 of his points were in the restricted area, or not 17, 17 shots. We're in the restricted area. It's 34 points. They got him some help and managed to get some scoring in other ways, and it was nice to see that from the Pelicans. Some other good things. The Pelicans held Denver to only 11 fast break points. That getting back in transition and sacrificing offensive rebounds to make sure everyone's set was working. No one was just watching shots tonight. A lot of the times you had that last season where if the Pelicans took a three-pointer, half the team standing around just watching to see if it goes back in or if it gets made. What you need to do is when you shoot, either everyone immediately sprints back on defense and gets set to defend the next possession, or you crash the offensive boards. You do one of two things. If you're waiting around watching shots, you can get burned in both areas and it doesn't work. Watch some of the highlights from last night. You'll see all of a sudden four or five guys back for the Pelicans after a shot is taken. The second that ball is out of the shooter's hand, they are sprinting down the court ready to play some defense. And it worked tonight. You know, again, limiting them to only 11 fast break points is certainly going to be good. I think it's something the Pelicans are going to be able to do all season. Like I said, they were top 10 in transition defense last year. They'll be able to do it again this year. That's the bright point of the defense so far. And so that's something they're going to definitely need to keep it up with. You know, it's going to be a good test against the Warriors. They're a team that plays fast. So the Pelicans need to get back. Don't give up transition buckets or fast break points. Again, the Warriors are going to be a good test of this. So before we wrap up, I want to have some fun with numbers. First is the Pelicans had 81.6% of their made shots. Those were assisted. They well higher than what they were doing in the preseason, which was right around 65-67%. A lot of that had to do with Tim Frazier and Anthony Davis just getting Davis the ball and letting him score. Pretty much all of his shots were assisted. It was a little disappointing towards the end of the fourth quarter when the Pelicans did have a chance to tie or take the lead. Davis kind of had these two bad isolation possessions where he seemed to take the ball, try to drive to the rim, just doing it all on his own, and took a bad shot. It was disappointing to see they had a chance really to tie and potentially even win this game in regulation. And if he doesn't do those two kind of knuckleheaded possessions and instead they play the team basketball they had been doing, I think they would have scored. It's disappointing that he kind of went with that. I think that was him just maybe not trusting any of his teammates offensively, and there was no reason for him to do that. But you'd like to see the team-oriented ball instead of the isolation. That kind is what doomed the Pelicans right at the end of the game. But frankly, they should have won this one. It's not just on Davis for those two. He certainly did enough. Okay, so the really fun numbers that mean absolutely nothing out of context and really, frankly, after one game, just due to small sample size stats here, don't mean anything at all. But hey, it's really cool to see the Pelicans high up and things. So first, this game out of all the teams that have now played one game so far of all the numbers that are being recorded, not everyone's done just yet. But as of now, it was the highest pace so far. We've still probably got this Lakers-Rockets game that's going on right now. That's going to probably finish with a higher pace, I'd be willing to bet. But right now, it was the highest pace by five possessions from when I looked at the numbers. So you see the Pelicans want to play fast. They certainly did so against the Nuggets team. Mike Malone's not known for running, you know, a fast-paced offense, so it was nice to see them dictate the pace of the game. As, you know, I said in the preview, that's definitely what they needed to do. Some other fun stats. Right now, the Pelicans have the fifth-best defensive rating in the league. So defensive rating's a stat I'm going to use a lot. That's basically points given up per 100 possessions. It's done with 100 possessions in mind, basically to adjust for pace. Obviously, teams are going to score more if they have more possessions. This adjusts for that. So a slow-paced team and a fast-paced team can kind of be compared. So fifth-best defensive rating so far. Everyone, pat the Pelicans on the back. It's wonderful, even if it's just for one game. They're in the top five. Flip side of that, though, they had the third-worst offensive rating. So third-worst points per 100 possession on offense. Not good. That's even with Anthony Davis' monster game tonight. So that's really disappointing. It's not going to quite work like that overall. It just goes to show he got absolutely no help. So hopefully, you know, the Pelicans won't waste a game like that from him again. So that's your game recap after the 107-102 loss for the New Orleans Pelicans on opening night against the Denver Nuggets. That was last night. They got two big games coming up that we're going to preview tomorrow for you on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That's going to be the Warriors at home on Friday and then at the Spurs on Saturday. A bit of a brutal stretch for the Pelicans. Rough loss the other night, but you know, they showed a lot of good. We covered a lot of the good here, and we'll keep an eye on some of the things I talked about as the season goes on, because those are going to be pretty big storylines. It's going to be fun finally to be able to dive into some of the stats and the numbers. I'm going to start breaking some plays down for you a little bit more. There was a lot of good things I saw, especially with Davis on the pick and roll. I want to get a little bit larger sample size before we jump into some of that. Can't base everything off one game, otherwise the Pelicans are going to go 0-82, so let's definitely not do that. So everyone, thank you for listening. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the game preview, like I said, for the Warriors and the Spurs game. And then I'll be back with you on Monday breaking those two games down. It should be a lot of fun. Basketball's back. Seeing Anthony Davis play like that was absolutely fantastic. So I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I also write for bourbonstreetshots.com. Don't forget to give Locked On Pelicans a follow. Like it, share it, subscribe it, share it with one person. I would still love that. Let's get people listening all over. Thank you all for the feedback so far. You've all been very kind. This has been a lot of fun to do. So far, don't forget to listen to Locked On NBA with David Locke. Get a good general overview of what's going on in the league now that there's games on every night. We can't watch them all. That's a great place to catch up. So thanks for listening today, and I'll be with you guys tomorrow.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.